Hi, and welcome to Going Within is the New Going Out. It's your mindset coach, Carol Ann Reed here, and together in this podcast, we're going to be tuning out from the outside world and deep diving within. Because after all, that's where the magic happens.
A huge welcome to another episode, and this one is called Stop People Pleasing and Start Living. Now, this is me being quite presumptuous, but I'm guessing if you have clicked on this, is either a part of you that maybe is a bit intrigued, or you already resonate with the term people pleaser. You may have heard this being said to you, you may have read about it. Something about this is landing with you. And I truly believe that we hear and come across these things quite often in the divine time. We talk about this a lot, don't we? So let's just jump straight in, because it's a topic that comes up so much. And I am going to say it, especially in women. It is something that men can have, but more often this is common in women. And we're going to have a look at what it is, why we do it, and of course I am going to share some tips on how you can actually begin to release those people-pleasing tendencies and start to feel free to just be yourself and live a more aligned, authentic life, just knowing that you are enough. So let's jump in. So first things first, people pleasing is quite often a learned behavior from childhood. If you are familiar with the what we would call the attachment styles, there's predominantly four different attachment styles. One is actually anxious attachment style. So if you are familiar with this, then fantastic. If not, this could be something. If this whole episode resonates, drop me a message. I can recommend some good books, have a little bit of a deep dive into this a bit further. But people pleasing can quite often be linked to anxious attachment style. And let's just have a little dive into what the best way to sort of summarize what anxious attachment style is. Let's say when you were a child, there no doubt will have been a parent or caregiver or even both that felt anxious, or their emotions, whether that is anxiety, sadness, anger, spilled over them. They weren't able to self-regulate, and you as that little child would pick up on their heightened emotions. And what this would cause from a very, very young age is the question internally, subconsciously, of is the world a safe place? Are we safe right now? Because as children, we look up to our kings and queens, whether that is parents, whether they were toxic, abusive, whatever that is, it is hardwired within our brains to look up for them for safety, security, survival. That is like it. And this is why when you were younger, if you would pick up on this anxiety, you would over time begin to look out of yourself before looking in. So a real quick snapshot of how this can play out in childhood examples would be, if you were, I don't know, let's just say 6 or 7, you sort of around that age when you start to become really self-aware and aware of the environment, you know it's dinner time and you hear one of the parents call, it's like, right, dinner's ready. You would automatically be trying to tune into, was that a dinner's ready, or was it a dinner's on the table? You walk into the room, you're trying to suss, is everyone in a good mood? Are they talking? Is it going to be an all right? Is it awkward? Can I crack a joke? Is it okay? Do I need to go sit down on the sofa? Before you actually even think, I'm hungry. What's for tea? Where am I going to sit? Do I want a drink with my dinner? Notice how the first thing is you're tuning into the environment. And over time, we actually become more hypervigilant, hence the anxious attachment, because our attachment is so closely intertwined with caregiver. We almost are feeding from their anxiety and looking at ourselves through their eyes. So we're reading things externally before internally. I'm hoping that this is making sense. I'm trying to like snapshot this in the best way possible. But I'm sure that you can see now where this would naturally tie in for a lot of people with people pleasing. Because if you do walk in the room and I'm just going to use the dinner time example again. You walk in and tea has been slammed down and one of your parents is eating it with a face on and there's no TV on in the background and there's just like you could cut the air with a knife. Like, how many times have you heard that expression? That's the energy. That's the physical vibration that you would have picked up on. So you tend to think, I better eat all my dinner, otherwise there's going to be more trouble. Or you say, that was yummy, thank you. I'll help do the washing up. Or, thank you for that. I drew you a picture at school today. Shall I go and get it? Because you already begin to have this heightened awareness of, I could maybe try to control things a little bit. Is there anything I can do to make this better? To make me feel less anxious by providing externally. It actually gives us a sense of control and safety. This, whenever I work with a lot of people actually with anxious attachment style, I always want, I mean, for every attachment style, there's so many things that are associated to our childhood experiences. And this, we don't want it to be that, woe is me. Oh my God, I'm this is it. I'm broken. Because so often the attachment styles, the way that we survived as children, like that isn't this big, oh, everyone was on the verge of near death. But everyone was surviving. That's the goal. If you're listening to this right now and you're in your teens, your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s and beyond, you survived childhood. Sounds very deep, doesn't it? But we did. And your main goal was to seek that safety, security, reassurance, everything's okay, and dare I say, control. So that is how it begins to link into the you get rewarded. There no doubt will have been a sense of reward when you were pleasing others or when you were being, and this is kind of the label that I give it, a good girl or good boy, a good person. And I urge you to start to reflect. We say this every episode. I urge you to reflect on your own experiences. But it is so powerful. This might be one you've experienced. Maybe you saw it in a sibling. Maybe you saw it in a friend or a neighbor. But this was never from a place of malice. This was never from a place of conscious manipulation. As we grow older, sometimes manipulation does come into it. The people-pleasing thing, I'll give an example of when manipulation can come in, because you might be like, hang on, how the hell do those two go hand in hand? Let's say you message a friend, you've not heard back from a couple of days, and you're like, oh my God, well, they usually message me back straight away. I'm their go-to person. I know they're going through something. Maybe they don't value my friendship as much anymore. Maybe, did I say something the last time I spoke to them? I know what I'll do. I'll go get flowers and I'm going to hand deliver them to their house because I'm such a kind person. Knock, knock, knock. Hi, I hope I'm not interrupting. It's just, I just saw these and I thought of you and here's some beautiful flowers. You know where I am, right? If you need me, you know where I am, okay? Okay, I love you. The kids are in the car. I'm going to go now. Okay, message me later, won't you? Fill me in. Okay, thank you. I'll see you later. Enjoy your flowers. You're so welcome. There's an example, right? I got very into character then. You can tell I did drama as a GCSE, darling. And you get back in the car. How do you feel? We feel that sense of we've just done a good deed. You have. You've just delivered flowers to a friend that you know is going through a tough time. But let's actually put a little bit of a microscope on this, like just between you and I. We don't actually have to share this outside of here. But what was also happening subconsciously there was you needed the validation that everything was okay, that your friendship was safe, that there's nothing you've done. You're not getting that reply back from a friend that gives you your usual, yes, everything's okay, or everything's gone to shit, but at least you know where you stand. You've not done anything wrong. So by you delivering the flowers, you actually get the validation. You get to ask the question of, you know where I am, right? And you hear, yes, thank you for being the friend that's always there for me. You are so welcome. I love you. And then we go off. I've seen this happen before. I've had this happen to me. And I will hold my hands up and say, I have done this myself. When I was friends with someone who she was going through a really, really, really tough time, but there was traits of gaslighting coming through. I was not informed on what this all meant back then. I, being a people pleaser, I would say recovering anxious attachment style, if that's even a thing, I just do not believe that we just flick this switch and it's like, you're healed. And I know this is a big thing for me to say, given the work that I do. I literally help people transform their pain into power. But I genuinely say this to my clients, there is not a wave of a magic wand, and healing and transformation is an ongoing journey. And the moment that people start to really understand this, oh, it's like the weight comes off their shoulders, because it is a continuation. So anyway, that's why I say a recovering, because it is this ongoing thing. And I will also throw in the other thing here that kind of goes hand in hand, because I don't want you to think, oh my God, every time I've given my mates flowers, like, is this me manipulating them? The way that you are from childhood, no matter whether or not you would say you have an attachment style, whether you people please, and I'm going to sort of focus on this anxious attachment style, because I described that before, and like, let me know if this interests you, if you would like more episodes like this. But let's actually see the real powerful positive traits that your childhood, if that resonates with you, what I've just described, has resulted in who you are today. People that are people pleasers or have had or have anxious attachment style tend to be incredible listeners. They tend to be the friend that can just be there for someone in the whites of their eyes and hold space for them. They are the ones that want to lift you up when you're down. They are the ones that can be the confidant, the one who is most trustworthy, the one that can really hold secrets and feel pride and pleasure and a sense of gratitude for being the person to be able to hold that space. They also tend to be the ones that want to have fun. They want to be able to bounce off the other person's energy. Like that, when people begin to really manage and release the people-pleasing tendencies and actually start to see that if this is resonating, there are so many powerful, great qualities to you as well. Like, celebrate the hell out of these. So like you would go to a friend's house and give the flowers. But here's the thing. A lot of people pleasers do so at a detriment to themselves. Most do it to the point where they become tired, overwhelmed, like the juggle in life becomes all-encompassing, because they tend to not know how to say no. They tend to feel awkward or like they're putting someone out, or fear judgment if they say no. They fear being cast out. And this again goes right back to our primal instincts as a child. If you felt unsafe and insecure in your own home, in an environment where your loved ones, where your family were, those that on paper, what we see in the movies and read in the books and everything else, are meant to be your protectors, your everything else. If you felt anxious and insecure in that space, it is no wonder you'd be looking for some kind of validation from a friend, because there isn't blood that connects you there. You may have met them in the workplace. What if we leave work? What if one leaves work? Is our friendship really true? Is this? So I want you to really just take a sense of self-awareness from this, because everything starts with awareness. Without awareness, nothing can change. So I really, really urge you, do not blame, shame, criticize, judge yourself or anyone else whilst we're reflecting on this. This is simply a way to begin to understand, have a deeper understanding of maybe why you act how you do, why your behaviors are how they are, or maybe you have these thoughts internally and it makes you think, God, I'm so manipulative, or I'm a horrible person, or I game play a little bit to hear back. This is another one that I do come across quite often. Men and women, they do not mean to do this, but they can game play, especially at the beginning of friendships and relationships. I better not message because I messaged them last. I'm going to see how much I mean to them. See if they message me. Now, we probably do not say it in like a Gollum voice, but if we think about the ego in this and we think about that survival part of us, it's like, how real, how safe is this? And we can end up game playing a little bit. So here is how, if you're sat there now, you're like, oh holy babe, this is freaking me. Like, let's celebrate this. You are actually an incredible human. Everyone is. You have navigated. You survived everything that you've ever been through until today. Like, let's just celebrate that. Let's have a mid, wherever you are in your life, like, celebration, because you did. You survived everything. You survived childhood. You survived teen years. You survived your wherever you are. So celebrate this. And here is how you can begin to release some of these tendencies so that you're not burning yourself out. You're not living in your own head, questioning your own value and self-worth. You're not people-pleasing at the detriment to your own self and energy. And if you're listening to this and you have children or you have nieces, nephews, there's any kind of influence in that future generation, listen up, because I think that this isn't only our rite of passage to do this work ourselves. Like, we are the chain breakers in this generation, whether or not you have kids or not. If you're listening to this and you're doing inner work, freaking yes, you are breaking the chains that are often parents, ancestors, etc., not only didn't have the knowledge to do, but may not have had the strength to do. So here we are. Here is how you can begin to release some of these. One, get clear on your boundaries. What are your boundaries? And a great way to begin to recognize these, because trust me, I will say to many clients, we're going to have a chat about your boundaries, and you can see rabbit in headlights. They're like, what are boundaries? I don't know what they are until I'm in the moment and I say yes. And then after I reflect and wish I said no, then I berate myself. Then I get frustrated. Then I resent. Then I think about what I'll do next time. I'm like, cool, okay, what would you do next time differently? So if that is you, you genuinely just do not know where you would even start with boundaries. If you imagine you've just said yes to something and done something that was really, really not what you wanted to do, it's just not in alignment to you, put you out, made you not feel good, someone, it felt like someone else walked all over you, what would you do differently next time? Would you say to them, and this is something I have practiced a lot over the years, this sentence, let me get back to you on that. Let me get back to you on that. What does that do? If someone asks you a question, do you mind doing this? Do you mind dropping this parcel off for me at the post office? Do you mind sending this email on my behalf? Do you want to come out for drinks with the girls on Friday night? And in your head, you're like, I am exhausted. The kids aren't sleeping. I just want a night to myself. And you're like, oh my God, it sounds great. And you end up doing that thing where you feel on the spot, ooh, do you know what? Let me get back to you on that. That gives your brain time to breathe. That gives you time to go away. You don't have to say it to the person. You can pick up the phone. You can text them. You can send a freaking carrier pigeon. If you're watching The Gentleman at the moment, I literally just had the most epic scene come to me for the carrier pigeons going with their agreements. If you know, you know. If you don't, I sound crazy. Or you could literally go and see them again and say it to them. This isn't about like chickening out or pigeoning out. This is about you communicating in a way that feels safe and authentic to you. Another thing is really recognizing that boundaries are not selfish. Again, this is something I hear so often, but if I say no, it makes me feel selfish. Or if I do this thing for me, that's me having selfish time. That, my dears, is conditioning. That is societal conditioning, often from previous generations, that if you sit down, if you're not always on the go, if you're not always doing, then you're lazy. And it's just not true. It's just not true. And it's also not selfish to carve out that time for you. So really beginning to reprogram the next time you say that, stop yourself. If you've got a band, one of the snap bands, give that a blinking snap in that moment. And if you're like, ooh, snap band, this is a form of CBT, a little unprompted plug here, a snap band, if you head over to my website www.carolannreed.com, they might be called warrior bands. I call them snap bands, and they basically help you to interrupt those negative thought patterns, or those habitual thought patterns. They're not necessarily negative. And anytime if you catch yourself saying that habitual thing of, oh yeah, but it's so selfish of me if I don't do that. What will they think of me? I'll be a terrible person. You snap the band. That causes something called the spotlight effect in the brain. It interrupts the habitual thought pattern beginning to break down neurons in the brain, weakening those thoughts. That's literally what it does. It begins to weaken the thoughts, allowing you to begin to think new thoughts. So you can go, hang on a minute, no. I remember hearing Carol Ann say this, it is not selfish of me. Actually, I'm exhausted from this week. And yes, I can sit, chill and watch The Gentlemen if you haven't already on Netflix on Friday night. And the girls aren't going to be pissed at me. And if they are, it says more about them than me. Ooh, bit of a change there, isn't it? So that I would highly recommend if you are someone that struggles with negative self-talk, you overthink. You are that person who looks at yourself through the eyes of others. People pleaser, often linked to anxious attachment style. Grab yourself a band. They're like a tenner. In fact, they're $9.99, they're not even a tenner. And I think that includes delivery as well. I hand pack these myself and I take such pride in that. I get everything made locally. And then that is like my downtime. I pour so much love in the packaging. If you ever receive one from me, just know, because I've sent out, I'm going to go as far as thousands over the years. I started these bands years and years and years ago. It was the biggest game changer for me. I should probably do an entire episode on this. I will, in fact. Okay, clear boundaries. This leads me beautifully to clear communication. Don't beat around the houses. Like, as a people pleaser, we tend to go, do you mind if, I'm so sorry to even ask this. Oh God, I still sometimes do this myself. This is what I mean by it is an ever ongoing thing to practice, and I catch myself doing it. Do you mind if, I'm so sorry to ask this, but is it all right if? And if you've ever had that done to you, does it or does it not make you feel a little bit uneasy? Does it almost make you feel like there's a bit of a power play going on, like you're the one in power and the other person feels quite vulnerable, dare I say weak? They're kind of like, I am at the mercy of you. I know when people say to me, I'm so sorry to ask this and I feel so bad doing this, but basically little Timmy has had a dentist appointment come up and I've been trying to get hold of the NHS. We got kicked off because I didn't listen to my emails. And then this true story I actually heard not so long ago. Not from a client. This was actually someone within my own family. And then I finally managed to get hold of them. And now I've got a dentist appointment come through. I'm so sorry. Do you mind if we move our coffee on Tuesday from 1 till 2 p.m.? Like, that other person listening, when you go around the houses and you like skim over and we fluff it up, it actually can be quite frustrating. So the more that you can just say, hey, I know we're going to be meeting at 1 p.m. on Tuesday. Do you mind if we move it to 2 p.m.? Like, that other person is literally going to look in their diary and be like, okay, can't do 1, 2 p.m. Yep, that's all good for me. Looking forward to seeing you. Woo! Like, that's it. We just do not need to dive into the who, what, where, when, why. Now, I will say a part of the package for most people being a people pleaser is we tend to be an empath. Again, very much interlinked with what often is linked to the anxious attachment style. But that's because we were used to, as children, walking into the room and energetically having to scan and read. So that is why our intuition, our heightened sense of awareness, like, you know before someone even opens their mouth if everything's okay. So, but we don't want it to be at the detriment to yourself. We don't want to be constantly trying to second guess how other people are going to respond to something that you say. That is not putting yourself first. That is actually like a sense of torture to yourself. So actually really having a look and leaning into, if you feel awkward doing this, just remember that how people treat you is a learned behavior that has been quite often in collaboration together. So if someone tried to tread on your boundaries, let's say in the workplace, they're like, I've got to leave early to go and do this thing and I need this doing. Do you mind clearing this up for me before the end of the day? And if they're all like straight to the point, that kind of masculine energy, there's no bullshit, there's just like boom, straight to the point, and you go, well, yeah, of course I can. It would be my pleasure to. I mean, I was actually planning on staying here till 6:30 anyway. And it's, yeah, I don't have my children to go home to. Of course, well, go course I will. The next time that that comes up for them, they're going to be like, hey, that person was really receptive. I'm going to go and do that. Now, between you and I, we might go, well, that says a lot about them. But yeah, but you also said, yeah. We also just laid those boundaries down on the floor and was like, yep, throw that over here. I'll deal with that. That's cool. Cool, 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 cool. So we want to see this as a collaboration. And it may be at first that the odd person does start to go, oh, well, this is different. Why are you suddenly saying this? Or they may push back a little bit or question. But this is your responsibility to lay these foundations down. If those foundations weren't laid down in childhood, this is a part of what I call reprogramming and reparenting. It's never too late. You might be listening to this in your 70s and you're like, huh, yep, my parents, there's not many boundaries there, or there were all these restrictions and it made me people please and everyone was anxious. And you can reparent and reprogram at any age. That doesn't mean to say it's just going to be like a overnight thing. You listen to one thing and it's done. It is a process. It's a process of understanding. It's a process of acceptance, of healing, of shedding, of learning, navigating who you are in this new identity. Like, what is that version of you like? The version that has boundaries, that communicates clearly, that feels more confident saying yes, saying no to things, doesn't give as much of a hoot about what other people think. And I no doubt will have shared this before, but I remember hearing this years ago, decades ago, in fact, because I'm pretty sure it's my nana that said this to me. Oh, love, listen, you can't be everyone's cup of tea, otherwise you'd be a mug. And I remember being like, I can't be everyone's cup of tea or I'd be a mug. That is so true. And I remember it. Like, don't get me wrong, that did not mean I never feared judgment again, because that would be a lie. But it certainly helped to recognize it is not our job to be everyone's cup of flipping tea. Some people like Earl Grey, some people like coffee, some people hate hot drinks. We shouldn't have to shapeshift to please the taste of others. That is not our responsibility. And I think kind of the last thing to leave you with on this, because there's just so many different rabbit holes we could go down with it, and I would love to know, like this would be so helpful if you can let me know what parts of this resonated, if you want to deep dive further into this, because I have conversations like this all the time. So then when it comes to doing these episodes, I'm like, how surface level do we, how deep are we going today? I just do not do surface level. I'm like, is this a teaching? Is this an experience? Is this... So the more that you share with me, the more I literally will tailor this. I want to make sure that these are as shit hot as I can to make sure you get the value. So feed it back to me. I am so open to that. Okay, so lastly, just know that it is safe for you to sit in the uncomfortability. Quite often, we tend to want to run away. We tend to go and do the people-pleasing thing. We tend to seek the validation out. If we can't do that, what do a lot of people-pleasers do? We tend to self-soothe. We tend to eat more. We tend to drink. We tend to scroll on social media. We tend to get those fixes elsewhere. So just know that it is safe for you to sit in the uncomfortability when you're feeling these feelings of wanting to people please. Sitting in the uncomfortable feelings of when you've just said no and you're like, oh, is there going to be a repercussion here? Seek out the evidence. Is it safe for me to do this? And really also remind yourself that if people push back on this, they may be a part of the reason or a season, not necessarily a lifetime. I know over the years when I've shed and put more healthy boundaries in place and stopped people pleasing, that there has been friendships that have shedded. And I have had the greatest time with them. They've been like, oh my gosh, meant so much to me. And I could mourn what we had, but moving forward, the inner conflict was too much. And I actually felt in the end, I wasn't only doing myself a disservice, doing them a disservice, because I wasn't being authentic. I was masking. Like, that's not real. And now I know when I meet friends And I've got the most beautiful, those who also love to like deep dive into the vastness of life and meaning and all of this. And since stopping people pleasing, I have met my tribe. Just know that your tribe are out there for you as well. If you're not a deep dive person, you might be a bit more of an introvert. You might be into certain things. The less you people please and the more you step into your authentic code, the more you will attract and be free to go find your like true soul tribe. And talking of soul tribe, if you aren't already a member, come and head over to the Awaken the Warrior Within free community group on Facebook. And of course, if you haven't already, like hit subscribe and like let me know. I know sometimes we listen to these things and it's like, oh, they're so out of touch. Like drop me a DM on Instagram if something resonated with you, if you've got a question or maybe a story yourself. Oh my God, I love hearing this. I love it. And it really, like I said, it helps to shape where these podcasts go. I am sending you so much love. Thank you as always for tuning in. It just means so much. And I love being able to share this space with you. And here is to your authentic self. I will look forward to catching you on the next episode. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, I would be so grateful if you could share this with a friend who you just know would love it too. And if you haven't already, don't forget to subscribe so you'll be the first to know when next week's drops. Sending you all the love and light.